It is as we expected in Bangkok. The military that said, oh, we're not perpetrating a coup. Do not pay any attention to those armed men standing out in front of the radio stations, standing out in front of the television stations, summoning you to appear before them. Pay no attention to those armed men. This is not a coup. Well, now they're admitting, yes, well, maybe this is a coup. Not maybe, it is absolutely a coup. Why? Because that's the way we roll, particularly in Thailand. Thailand is very much like Turkey in this regard. It is like so many countries around the world. They go in and out of coups. They kind of play at democracy for a while and roll back into another coup. They're currently in a military coup now. The military, which had invited political leaders to have discussions with them, is now saying, you know, we're just going to seize power and hang on to it for a while. It's exactly what you have in Egypt. And so in Egypt, there's going to be a popular election here very shortly. There's only two candidates, of course, that are running for office because the military had the opportunity to approve or disapprove any candidates. Very much like they used to have elections in the USSR. It's like they have elections in China. But only certain people get to vote, and they only get to vote for a prearranged group of candidates. In the case of Egypt, you have a fundamentalist Muslim military general who controls the media entirely, controls the army entirely, controls the judicial system in Egypt entirely, who has labeled the opposition parties, both the Salaf parties and the Muslim Brotherhood parties, illegal, has rounded up the participants in those parties, has confiscated their money, confiscated their offices, confiscated their files, and jailed the participants. And so he is approved one candidate to run against him because, after all, if there wasn't an opponent, then it wouldn't be much of an election, would it? And the one individual that he has approved happens to be a communist. Now, that's going to go over great. You've got a country that is 90% Muslim, fundamentalist Muslim, that has a 9% Christian minority, and about 1% of the population would be secular, socialistic individuals. So I would expect that he will get about 1% of the vote. It ought to be a sterling election, about 99% to 1%. Yes, indeed, democracy. In other news, there's a bipartisan group of lawmakers that has recently introduced legislation banning the Pentagon from doing business with Russian arms dealers. Now, what's so pathetic in this particular situation is that the U.S. Is doing billions of dollars worth of arms transactions with Saudi Arabia, with Kuwait, and with Qatar that are the gun runners for the Islamic world. The very weapons that were deployed against the American embassy facility in Benghazi. That wasn't, I guess, an embassy because the embassy would be in Tripoli, but the State Department facility in Benghazi was supplied by the United States through Qatar. And so we have no problem doing military transactions, even with a junta that has taken over Egypt by military force, supplying them $3 billion worth of American weaponry. We have no problem providing billions of dollars worth of weaponry to the Pakistani military, even though they are the originator and the directors of the Taliban. But we don't want to do business with the Russians, even though the Russians are the most effective country in the world at keeping Islamic terrorists at bay. They have a much higher Islamic population than we do here in America, and they are the most effective at minimizing Islamic terrorism. But we don't want to do business with them. Now, of course, we can be a little bit short-sighted here in the U.S. Congress. The fact is that if we are going to continue to impose sanctions on Russia, then America comes to a standstill after a while. Can't launch satellites, can't get our men off the International Space Station, can't build airplanes because we don't have any titanium. So you may want to think this through before you go in that direction. And also come to realize that you really can't inflict any kind of material harm on Russia. In fact, the more you try to impose sanctions, the stronger Russia will become, because they don't have national debt like America. They are blessed with not only energy resources in abundance, but they also have rare earth metals in abundance. And therefore, when you say, for example, that the Rossiya Bank can't use Visa or MasterCard anymore, all you're going to do is make Russia stronger by having Russians develop their own international credit systems, just as the Chinese did when we started badgering them. And when you tell the Russians that they have no choice, but they must continue to ship gas through the Ukraine, even though the Ukraine is not paying them and is nothing but an irritant to them, you have Russia sign $400 billion long-term gas deals with China. The whole world is mocking us. We just have become belligerent, arrogant, blathering fools. So anyway, this is the latest, is the proposed by Senators Dan Coats, a Republican from Indiana, John Cornyn, a Republican from Texas, and Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat from Connecticut. It would forbid the direct or indirect use of U.S. tax dollars to enter contracts or agreements with the company, and this is Rosso Born Export, amid the crisis that we created in the Ukraine. It's their quote here is, given Russia's hostile actions in Ukraine, business as usual is unacceptable. You know, it's just so pathetic. Russia hasn't had any hostile actions in Ukraine. None. It's just like, okay, we're going to make a statement that is completely detached from reality, and hopefully that the press will just lap it up and people will drink it down and not thinking. Russia hasn't had a single hostile action towards the Ukraine. America has. America's CIA is and its State Department working in concert orchestrated the protests that used force to depose the popular elected government. We've rattled our sabers and brought NATO commanders into Kiev and brought our war equipment to Russia's borders. We've funded the illegitimate government, providing them both encouragement and money to destabilize their country, to send its feeble military against its citizens. America has absolutely been hostile in the Ukraine. But what has Russia done? Haven't done anything. I mean, for Russia to agree that Crimea wants to be part of Russia and wants no part of the Kiev regime, that's not a provocative, that's not a hostile action. I mean, what have they done? I mean, we are basing our policy off after a pile of lies, pure hypocrisy. Now, this happened to be a quote from Representative Coates. He is the Republican from Indiana. With American credibility and the future of international order on the line, our actions should reflect that. American credibility. You know, when you make statements like this, you destroy American credibility. That's just the fact of it. There is no nation on earth that has less credibility in terms of its rhetoric. It used to be that the laughingstock of the world was Iran. You know, and every time Ahmadinejad would open his mouth, he would say something that was just, oh, my God, what is that guy saying now? But now it's the United States. We are the nation that has lost all credibility. Almost everything we say is the opposite of what's true. You know, America's credibility is no longer on the line. We lost it. We lost it because of idiots like Coates. And the future of international order. What's the international order? Is it this view that Yahweh lashed out at America for? This, you know, when Yahweh inspired the 18th chapter of Yashayah and specifically condemned America. He says, you know, it's a nation filled with arrogant people that think that they control the world. And so, is the international order what we say it should be? That the international order is that the Ukraine, which has been part of Russia for 300 years, ought to be part of NATO instead? Is that the international order that we think is on the line? And then he says that this particular sanction will harm Russia's interest in a serious way without damaging America's economy. Oh, so the business transactions between this firm, this export firm for Russia, and Americans are not with American manufacturers. That's what you're trying to tell us, Congressman? That that these weapons that are equipment that is being sold to Russia is not made by Americans, that it won't affect America's economy whatsoever. You know, when you look at America's economy, 25% of it now is driven by the federal government. The federal government represents 25% of American GDP. State and local governments represent another 5 to 10% of GDP. We have become a communist society in that regard. And the only thing that is really made for the government is the military. The government spends between its spy apparatus, its Department of Veteran Affairs, and the military budget itself, $1 trillion a year on its military. Welcome back to Shattering This. The Pentagon has a $554 million contract with Rosso-Boron Export to purchase 30 Mi-17 transport helicopters for the Afghani Air Force. And the Department of Defense has already spent a similar amount of money, $546 million, on 33 helicopters. So you might say, you know, what in the world is the United States doing purchasing Russian helicopters for Afghanistan? We're leaving Afghanistan. They hate us there. We made a bad situation worse. It was a complete and unmitigated disaster going into Afghanistan. The only thing that we could even take any credit for, which would be that we created schools where little girls could go to school, that those girls who availed themselves of those schools will all be killed when we leave. And the treatment of women in Afghanistan has degraded measurably in the 12 years that America has been there. There are far more women who are abused through the Afghani legal system now than were abused by the Taliban. So there isn't anything we accomplished. We even pushed what little remnants of Al-Qaeda there were in Afghanistan, out of Afghanistan, into Pakistan, where they destabilized a nuclear country. Everything was a disaster. So why are we continuing to buy helicopters for the Afghans? It's not like the Afghanis can fly them. I mean, our attempts to train Afghanis to maintain even transport vehicles has been a complete disaster. I mean, all of the transport vehicles that are there, we might as well just roll up into a ball and crush, because the Afghanis can't maintain them. Now, they can drive them, but they can't maintain them. And the helicopters, not only are they vastly more complicated to maintain, they're not in a position to fly them. As a matter of fact, even the 33 that are there, they're flown by American pilots. And so the whole idea of buying helicopters there is stupid. Now, why would America then buy a Russian helicopter as opposed to American helicopters? Well, lots of reasons. One is we don't want our military technology in the Afghanis' hands because they'll simply use it against us. Second of all, America's transport helicopters, the kind of helicopter where the back or the front of the helicopter opens up and becomes a large ramp that you can roll or drive things into. You know, it's our big Chinooks, and, you know, they're probably 20 times more expensive. Also, the Russian helicopters have some technology that is kind of like comparing the AK-47 to an M-16. They're much more effective at high altitude, and much of Afghanistan is high altitude. It's the Hindu Kush. They're much more effective in dusty situations because the only helicopter that mounts the tail rotor in such a position that it directs dust away from the turbine engine. They are used in countries that don't have the technology to maintain and in environments where the terrain is such that you need a machine that can take a beating and keep on flying. And so we don't make a product like that. And so if you're going to say, you know, we brought in 30, but we're not going to bring in our 33. We're not going to bring in the next 30 because we really want to shove it to the Russians. Then what are you going to have there? What are you going to have there? We don't make a product like the Mi-17 transport helicopter. If we replace them with Chinooks, it's going to cost us a fortune. And no matter what happens, it's not going to do anybody any good. And it's kind of like the whole mess that we have in the U.S. military where the orders are split between lots of different companies. So you have lots of products with non-interchangeable parts. So you're going to give them 33 of one thing and 30 of another. And so they have to have double the parts inventory. They have to train double the amount of people so that they can work on different systems. Yeah, it's just stupid. It's like we're absolutely incapable of thinking things through. You know, why was that stupid decision made in the first place for 33, much less 63 helicopters? What's going to happen once we leave in a matter of months? Why is it that we chose this helicopter once the bad decision was made to provide 63 helicopters? Why on earth was this chosen? Think it through. Another insight into the ailing nature of America. Several lawmakers are calling for an investigation into reports that employees at a processing applications center for Obamacare are paid to do nothing. Missouri television station KMOV reported that data entry workers at Serco Inc. offices in Wentzville spent days staring at their computer. The company was awarded $1.25 billion to process applications for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, and they're doing absolutely nothing. You know, it reminds me too of the problem with the Veterans Administration hospital system. Anytime government tries to manage anything, it fails. I mean, governments don't even prosecute wars well. There's almost nothing that a government does well. And so when you get governments involved in things like healthcare with the Affordable Care Act, which is nationalized medicine, and you see what the government health care system is like, where they have absolute control, which would be the Veterans Administration. It is wholly derelict, completely and utterly deficient. This giant hole into which money and lives are sucked. Well, how much evidence do we have to have that it doesn't work before we go the opposite direction? And rather than nationalizing things, we go the opposite way and divest government. You know, rather than a $4 trillion annual government federal budget, you know, why don't we go the opposite way and try a $1 trillion government budget for a while? When it comes to Washington controversies, most American voters think that Benghazi, the IRS, and the government's electronic surveillance programs are serious matters. No kidding. A Fox News poll finds that less than 4 in 10 voters trust the federal government. So I have to ask you, what's wrong with the other 4? What's wrong with the 40% of you that think that the federal government is trustworthy? I mean, fortunately, this is really good news. 60% of Americans do not trust the federal government. That is really good news. Now, the bad news is, of course, is that the federal government spends $4 trillion a year. And so it is a monster. But it's good that 60% of you out there don't trust the federal government. I'm encouraged by that. The new poll released this past week finds that 37% of voters answer yes when asked, would you say you genuinely trust the federal government? 37% said yes. You know, are you unthinking? Are you ignorant? Have you bought into political correctness where you are unwilling to process information? You're incapable of making of exercising good judgment, of being discriminating, of knowing the difference between right and wrong, good and bad. Or is that 37% the number of Americans that are wholly dependent on the government, that either work for the federal government, work for state or local governments, or work in contracts for state and local and federal governments, or receive significant contributions from the U.S. government? I mean, you look at the number of food stamp recipients, and it's what now in the 75, 80 million Americans? Is that one out of every 4 Americans? So that would explain 25% of the 37%. And look at the fact that the federal government's responsible for 25% of the GDP of the country now. There's a lot of government employees out there. So are the 37% that are incapable of exercising good judgment, is it because you become so dependent upon government that you are unwilling to view the source of your income as evil? Because that would mean that you're a parasite living on an evil institution? Anyway, this article goes on to say that 6 in 10 say that they don't trust the government. And that group that says that they don't trust the government would be about 62%. One thing that is sure to erode trust is a scandal, and 78% of voters consider the Obama administration's handling of the attacks on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi to be a serious matter, 78%. You know, it's not the way that the Obama administration failed to handle the attacks, the fact that Obama just simply went to bed and that the U.S. Military was told to stand down. It's the fact that the Obama administration knowingly, purposefully, deliberately lied to blame the attacks on a Christian film as opposed to on Ansar Sharia, a fundamentalist Islamic organization. Because if you correctly ascribe the terrorist attack on our embassy. It's actually a guerrilla attack when it's on our embassy, not a terrorist attack. So it's really not an act of terrorism, which is the thing that the Republicans want to push. But when you correctly ascribe the attack to Ansar Sharia, and that you realize that the guns came indirectly from the United States, the weapons, and there were a lot more than just guns, rocket-propelled grenades and missiles and all of that sort of thing, 50-caliber machine guns. Then you realize that the entire war on terror is a complete farce, and that the United States' actions to depose the Libyan government was counterproductive. I mean, almost everything the government stands for falls apart. And then when you realize that the President of the United States would take the information that came to it from its embassy through the State Department via the CIA, and then it would deliberately change that information 12 times to create talking points, which it went on in international forums for a week promoting a connection to a film that was completely and totally bogus, while denying the fact that it was a fundamentalist Islamic group, Ansar Sharia, that had planned and perpetrated the attack. Now, the president's point was that he wanted to dissuade Americans from making the connection between Islam and terrorism. He wanted to dissuade Americans for seeing that it was his failed speech in Cairo that had inflamed these actions. He wanted the world to not see through the reality that we made a tragic mistake in Libya, and that America is the primary gunrunner of the world, and that there is no war on terrorism. The perpetrators are fundamentalist Muslims. And he wanted, instead, his crusade to be against Christians, so he blamed the Christian film. It was an impeachable act because of the great harm that was done to America and to the world, making us infinitely more vulnerable because of the lie. And because of all of these astute connections being denied while fabled connections were perpetrated and promoted. Well, at least 78% of Americans sense that some of that is true and are concerned about it. Should have been impeached. Still should be. 52% who said that that Benghazi is a very serious matter. Just over 53% see government surveillance of everyday Americans is very serious. 53%. 47% of Americans aren't bothered that you no longer have any privacy. Why? Because they're not going to do anything. There's no part of their life that's even interesting. They're never going to bow their back. They're never going to stand up against a crowd. They're never going to be accountable. They're never going to try to make a difference. They're just going along. Salute the flag, sure. Stand up, put your hand over your heart as they play the national anthem, absolutely. Go vote, why not? But to stand up, be accountable, to make a difference, to object to bad behavior, never going to happen in their lifetime. And so, what do they care? 47% of you don't realize that the NSA is a scar against the soul of this nation, that it is overwhelmingly counterproductive, that it is operating in absolute discord with the U.S. Constitution, and that when the nation begins to operate in discord with the rule of law, with its foundational documents, then it is no longer controllable. It will continue to eat its way into everyone's lives until it absolutely controls everything. 44% feel that the IRS targeting conservative groups is a concern. Partisanship also shapes the view on trustworthiness. Yes, the Democrats are more likely to be collectivists and like big government, and the conservatives are likely to be individually responsible and dislike the federal government. In 2002, the first time this question was asked on a Fox News poll, 47% of Democrats said yes, they trust the government. Yeah, see, there you go. That increased to 53% in February of of 2009, about a month after President Obama was inaugurated, with change we can believe in. And it stands at 55% in a new poll. I mean, that would mean that if you're a Democrat, 55% of Democrats are absolutely oblivious. When a person identifies themselves with a political party to the extent that they're willing to forego information and reason to hold a view based on faith, they are no different than a religious zealot. At that point, at the point you are convinced that Obama is an honorable man and that the government is doing honorable things, the moment you hold that view, you're saying that not only am I ignorant, but evidence doesn't matter to me. Not only am I irrational, but my politics won't even consider exercising good judgment. I am nothing but a product of the propaganda. The trend is reversed and more dramatic among Republicans. 63% distrusted the government in 2002, while 32% felt that way in 2009, and just 19% trust Uncle Sam today. We're considering the most recent survey by Fox News. It is encouraging, I guess, that amongst the 40-some-odd percent of Americans that consider themselves Republicans, that only 19% of Republicans trust the federal government. Well, that's pretty encouraging. Now, if we could only get the that 81% of Republicans that don't trust the government, that know that the government is not trustworthy, to stop voting, to stop pretending like the military is not part of the government, to stop doing the Pledge of Allegiance and standing for the Star-Spangled Banner, and to develop a backbone and say, you know, it's not just that the government is untrustworthy, it's that their actions are counterproductive. And getting that 81% of Americans who would consider themselves Republicans, that would be, you know, 81% of about 42% of the country, to move from just recognizing the government's untrustworthy to doing something about it. You know, and the solution isn't the Tea Party and trying to repopulate offices. As a matter of fact, if you are a conservative Republican, the Tea Party is counter to your interest. While they may be articulating the same thing and the same frustrations that you feel, they're actually counterproductive, because when you look at national elections, it's about 45% of the population of this country of those who vote that are Democrat, and they aren't going to vote for your guy. They just aren't going to vote for your guy. And so you've got 45% that are going to vote for the Democratic candidate. And so the only way that a Republican can win is a Republican has to get 100% of the 35 to 40% of the Republican vote, plus they have to carry two-thirds of the independent vote. And say that you are running as a Tea Partyist because you're so extreme, your likelihood of getting two-thirds of the independent vote is really small, almost non-existent. And your ability to take the most extreme core of Republican voters away from the Republican candidate, so that rather than receiving the 35 to 40% Republican vote, now you've split that and you've taken the far right core of that vote, and you've deprived them, say, of 5 to 10% of their core. Now, for a Republican to win, they would have to garner more than 100% of the independent votes, which can't be done. So the Tea Party is counterproductive to the cause of Republicans. That's why so many mainstream Republicans have tongue-lashed the Tea Party and spoken against it now. Do I care? I don't care. Plague on both of your houses. But it is worth communicating that if you're one of the 81% of Republicans that recognizes the government isn't trustworthy, your solution is not the Tea Party. The solution really is to recognize that not only is it counterproductive, the U.S. government, but that it can't be fixed. And therefore, don't engage yourself in politics to try to fix it. And don't respect what it's doing. Don't respect its deployment of the military. It's ultimately going to deploy the military against American citizens. So stop pretending like the military is a noble place to serve and as if you're grateful for them, because it's going to be turned against you. And if you left military support and the government only to those 55% of Democrats that trust the government, then what you're dealing with is, since the Democrats are about 45% of the people and 55% of them support the government, you're dealing now with, 25% of Americans. They're going to play along, and that 25% of Americans isn't particularly fond of the military. And you're going to, by everyone that recognizes the government can't be trusted, to stop trying to repopulate it, stop trying to rearrange the color of the deck chairs on the Titanic. You'd be surprised as to how much better the overall situation would become. Now, the fact is that not enough people are going to stand up and be accounted to make a sizable enough difference, and America is going to fail, and it will fail over the next 15 years. But we could make the next 15 years a great deal more tolerable if the 81% of Republicans and 45% of Democrats stop playing with the government.